for a CJSF Heritage Minute. During the 80s and the 90s, CJSF would come into its own as a serious platform for independent artists and a forum for people to express ideas not present in the mainstream media. Summer 2002, CJSF receives a license from the Canadian Radio Telecommunications Commission to broadcast over the FM airwaves. February 13th, 2003, 7 p.m. CJSF goes on air at 90.1 FM, and we've been changing the sound of radio in Burnaby ever since.
And this brings us to the Story Corner portion of this evening's show. So now I have a radio tale for you. It's not a radio tale that is about war per se. It's a story that I have aired before, and it's about my mother's family's immigration to Canada, where how her great-greats came from Ireland. So I'd like to re-air that radio tale for you now.
Radio tale number 3. Bloodlines, ley lines, and the luck of the Irish.
In Dublin's fair city, where the girls were so pretty, I first laid my eyes on sweet Molly Malone. As she wheeled her wheelbarrow through the streets broad and narrow, crying cockles and mussels.
In the late 1800s, my great-grandparents set sail from Dublin, Ireland, for the Americas. Having feared that the potato famine would wipe them out in Ireland, my ancestors accepted the American government's offer to settle the prairie landscape of the Midwest in exchange for a parcel of land in the New World. After docking on the East Coast and registering at New York's Ellis Island, papers were approved and they were assigned a plot of land in North Dakota. And so, with deed on hand, by horse and buggy, my great-grandparents traveled to the Dakotas, where they settled along the Red River Valley in hopes of making a better life for themselves and their young family. As the years passed and as their children grew, at the turn of the century, some of their children ventured north to Canada to make a life of their own. Like their parents had done before them, they accepted the Canadian government's offer of a parcel of land to immigrants who were willing to settle the Canadian prairie. After congregating to Leroy, Saskatchewan, and having their land parceled out, each family set out to start their new life, having left the Red River Valley behind them.
From this valley, they say you are going. I will miss your bright eyes. They say you are taking the sunshine that has brightened our pathway wide.
Once Grandpa Jeremiah had settled in the small town of McGee, Saskatchewan, he took Grandma Olive as his bride. Together they worked the land and raised a family of their own, with my mother Margaret being the youngest of seven. Although I never met Grandpa Jeremiah, and I barely knew Grandma Olive, I recall hearing many a story of their homesteading days. These tales send me back as though I have lived the prairie life. My grandpa played the violin, and he played his song for me. With a tap and a bang and a strum and a twang, he played his jamboree, a prairie tune that was sure to make sweet history. That was many, many years ago. As for my life, I grew up on the west coast of Canada, and my mother died when she was 72 years old, just as I began to tip the scales of 40. As the shock of losing my mom wore down, and as the grief diminished, I began to research her life. My journey began with some old photos and a scrapbook. As I interviewed family and friends who identified people and places Mom had known, I was able to fill in some of the missing pieces of her story. This eventually led me to the flatlands of Saskatchewan and the prairie town of McGee, where my mother had grown up and where her family homestead still stood. It was there that I got an inside view of Mom growing up prairie, and her being schooled in a one-room schoolhouse, followed by boarding school at a Roman Catholic convent in Rosetown.
Mom's lifelong friend
reminisced with me of how she and Mom used to sneak out when the nuns weren't looking to go downtown, where they would hang out on Main Street singing Doris Day's hit single, Standing on the Corner.
Standing on the corner, watching all the girls go by. Standing on the corner, watching all the girls go by. Brother, you don't know a nicer occupation. Matter of fact, neither do I. Then standing on the corner,
In reflecting upon my mother's childhood and on my ancestors' lived experiences, I recall stories my mother had told me about her mother's heartache at the fortune she'd left behind in North Dakota and her subsequent loss of family heirlooms that were destroyed when her matrimonial home was taken by fire, taking the house and all the family belongings with it, leaving the family homeless in the 1930s. I recall hearing that someone ran back into the burning house to retrieve Grandma Olive's sewing machine, the sole item that guaranteed income for the impoverished family and clothes for the children. I also recall the sadness and the quiet desperation at the family being separated and the parents having to farm out the little ones while Grandpa Jeremiah and the neighbors rebuilt a three-room shack to house 9 people. I think back to my mother's experience of the prairies in the 1930s. I am the big open spaces of southern Saskatchewan, where my mother played with paper dolls while she waited for the spring to come. By the 1940s, the spring had long since come and gone, and with all the children having grown up and moved away, my mother boarded a train in Saskatoon and headed west, en route to join her siblings in Victoria, B.C. She was 18 years old. My mother trained to become a nurse's aide in St. Joseph's Hospital and spent her spare time singing in St. Patrick's Cathedral Choir and attending dances through the Catholic Youth Organization. This is where she met my father and lifelong friends. As I envision my mom's lived experience, from leaving the prairie land to her family losing their home to a fire and having the community farmers coming together to build a home for her family, I recall my own visit to her childhood home. As I walked that land, I thought about the great-greats leaving the Red River Valley for the Canadian prairie. I thought about the green hills of Ireland, where my kin rose up from, and my Dublin, where Molly Malone sold her wares along the ancient cobblestone streets, the same streets that my kin once walked. Oh, I am the fiery fields of Dublin, Ireland, where my great-grandmother told tales by candlelight, while she waited for the struggle of the famine and of the drink to end. When my mother passed away so many years ago, much was lost. Grief pulled at me to understand her life and her losses. This led me to research her lived experience. As is often the case for many people, it takes a death to wake up. Because we come to realize that we do not have all the time in the world, we are called to attention. By researching my mother's life, I was able to pull her silence out of the shadows, much like my ancestors, much like my own sweet Molly Malone.
In Dublin's fair city, where the girls are so pretty, I first set my eyes on sweet Molly Malone, as she wheeled her wheelbarrow through the streets broad and narrow, crying cockles and mussels, alive, alive, oh, alive, alive, oh, alive, alive, oh, crying cockles and mussels, alive, alive, oh. She was a fishmonger, and sure 'twas no wonder, for so were her father and mother before. And they wheeled their barrow through the streets broad and narrow, crying cockles and mussels, alive, alive, oh, alive, alive, oh, alive, alive, oh, crying cockles and mussels, alive, alive, oh. She died of a fever, and sure no one could save her, and that was the end of sweet Molly Malone. Now her ghost wheels her barrow through the streets broad and narrow, crying cockles and mussels, alive.
When I was a kid, whenever I would lose something and I'd ask my parents if they'd seen it, my dad would typically say, "It's in the fishbowl behind the piano up in Nellie's room." And the problem with that was Nellie lived in Humboldt. Oddly, Tom and Nellie were family on my dad's side, but they were also somehow connected through my mom's side, which was very unusual because my parents did not meet in Harcourt, in Saskatchewan. They met in Victoria, but my mother was also somehow related to the Harcourts. This is sounding convoluted. Anyways, a few years ago, one of my mom's sisters had come over for lunch, and she knew stories about the Harcourts. And so she had a gift for me, and it was a CD that Tom and Nellie Harcourt had recorded in the 1980s. It was a CD called Old Time Fiddle Favorites, and it was recorded in Saskatchewan. So I've got one of their songs to play. So in keeping with today's theme of Remembrance Day and honoring soldiers and people who fought and went to war or helped in some way, I've got a song from Tom and Nellie Harcourt. Here it is, Scottish Soldier.
Remember how we forgot? Remember how no one ever really died in the wars we fought? 'Cause each gunshot came from our fingertips, and we never really kept them loaded just in case. 'Cause each enemy was a friend, and none of it was about oil, religion, or land. It was all just pretend. Remember how we used to bend reality, like we were circus strongmen, like our imaginations were in shape then, like we were all ninjas trained in the deadly art of did not. Like I totally got you, did not. Remember how we forgot? Remember how our parents told us never to look directly into the sun, and how we were their son, so we never looked directly into the mirror in fear that we would go blind? Remember how we used to find any old reason just to call someone we were crushing on? Like we could just pawn off our sense of embarrassment, buy a chunk of courage that would last just long enough to have us asking them about math and stuff, and how stuff was just stuff. Like, I heard you're getting braces, and how braces somehow were and still are kinda hot. Remember how we forgot? Remember how we all caught mono? And our folks would go, oh, the kissing disease. And our first steps into gangsterhood had us saying, mother, please. Even though we'd never really kissed anyone, even though we never did half the things we said we'd done, we just spun yarns like Rumpelstiltskin spun gold. We told ghost stories, never realizing we would one day ourselves become ghosts, haunting the hallways of schools, breaking all the rules of silence in the library. But we had no chains to rattle, no voice to battle the fact that we had no vocal cords. We had only fingernails on chalkboards, and then we'd scream, shout, and yell, trying to tell ourselves what experience can teach is what no teacher taught. Remember how we forgot? Once upon a time we were young. Our dreams hung like apples waiting to be picked and peeled, and hope was something needing to be reeled in so we could fill the always empty big fish bin of the one that got away, and proudly say that this time, impossible is not an option. Because success is so akin to effort and opportunity, they could be related. So we took chances, we figure skated on thin ice, believed that each slice of life was served with something sweet on the side, and failure was never nearly as important as the fact that we tried. That in the war against frailty and limitation, we supply the determination it takes to make ideas and goals the parents of possibility. And we believe ourselves to be members of this family, not just one branch on one tree, but a forest whose roots make up a dynasty. So when I call you sis or bro, it's not lightly. When I ask you to remember, it's because the future isn't what it used to be. So remember now. Pay tribute to every sacrifice laid upon the altar of somehow, for all the times somehow we overcame, somehow we pushed on, somehow we've gone the distance, and in going there we possess the freedom to map the uncharted lands of any and everywhere. We are unbound, 6 feet above the underground where we will all one day rest. So until then, test the limits, test the boundaries and borders, as if the headquarters of potential lay just beyond the world's edge. Let the belief that hope belongs to us all be the pledge you take to make the unachievable as inconceivable as the false fact that we were never here. We were here, and our memories are as dear to us as every slow motion moment or held breath. So remember every instant before death, every first kiss, first dance, near miss, last chance, yes, no, maybe so. Let us go the distance once more. Let us remember all the moments that were and were not. Like the point is something we can get, and what we can get is what we got. Because all we have are the times between the moments we connect each dot. So live and remember. Burn like an ember capable of starting fires. Like each moment inspires the next. Like memories of the context we put ourselves in, so that life becomes the next of kin we need to notify in case of a big bang or extinction level event. Let now be our advent. Let us live like we meant it. Let us burn. Shit, if we end in a train wreck or a car crash, if our story ends with a dot or a dash, if we were dust or ash, 'cause all we were is all we'll be, and all we are is the in-between of so far, so good. So forget every would, could, or should not. Forget remembering how we forgot. Live like a plot twist exists now and in memory, because we burn bright. Our lights leave scars on the sun. Let no one say we will be undone by time's passing. The memories we are amassing will stand as testament that somehow we've bent minds around the concept that we see others within ourselves, that self-knowledge can't be found on bookshelves. So who we are has no bearing on how we appear. We were here.
You've been listening to Shane Kozan and the short story Long here at CJSF 90.1 FM, Burnaby Mountain. We can also be found online at www.cjsf.ca or at TELUS HD channel 7014. And that spoken word piece was Remember How We Forgot from the 2012 CD Remembrance Year. War makes us think about what we want, what we hoped the results would have been, what we hope could be different. It makes us think about our dreams, which makes me think about the Indigenous singer-songwriter Susan Aglukkaq. In 1995, she produced and recorded a beautiful album, This Child. And I have a song from that album, Dreams for You. Let's go to that now.
I can hear him preach. I can hear the words. I see his tears. I feel his hurts. And I know that he tried. I know that he did. I know that he loved. One Sunday morning, Daddy preached about dreams. He preached about you. He preached about me. And I remember I cried. Oh, how I
thanks for tuning in to another edition of The Arts Edge, and thank you for joining us this week for our Remembrance Day edition. If you've missed any portion of tonight's show, you can go to our website at www.cjsf.ca. Go to our schedule where you will find the Arts Edge listed. And just to note, all of our shows here at the station are archived should you want to re-listen. Stay tuned to Wave Station coming up next, and I leave you with one final tune. This is a very profound song that was written by Buffy St. Marie many, many years ago in the 60s. The version I have for you is from her CD released in 1990, The Best of Buffy St. Marie. In keeping with tonight's theme, here it is now, Universal Soldier. Good night, everybody. Have a wonderful weekend.
He's 5'2" and he's 6'4". He fights with missiles and with spears. He's all 31 and he's only 17. He's been a soldier for 1,000 years. He's a Catholic, a Hindu, an atheist, a Jain, a Buddhist, and a Baptist, and a Jew. And he knows he shouldn't kill, and he knows he always will kill you for me, my friend, and me for you. And he's fighting for Canada, he's fighting for France, he's fighting for the USA, and he's fighting for the Russians, and he's fighting for Japan, and he thinks we'll put an end to war this way. And he's fighting for democracy, he's fighting for the Reds, he says it's for the peace of all. He's the one who must decide who's to live and who's to die, and he never sees the writing on the walls. But without him, how would Hitler have condemned him at Dachau? Without him, Caesar would have stood alone. He's the one who gives his body as a weapon to the war, and without him all this killing can't go on. He's the universal soldier, and he really is to blame, but his orders come from far away no more. They come from him and you and me, and brothers, can't you see? This is not the way we put an end to war.
If you're a regular listener of this show or other shows on CJSF, we'd love to hear from you. Tell us about what you like and why you like it, as well as ways we can improve our programming. To leave comments, please email cjsfprog@sfu.ca or call 778-782-4423. This information can also be found on our website at www.cjsf.ca.